We've come to a passage of Scripture that is commonly called Mary's Song. Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 through 55 record for us a song, a song that comes from Mary's lips, a song of praise. As you study the Gospel of Luke, I want to just remind us of the purpose of his writing found in chapter 1 and verse 4, that the reader might know the certainty of those things in which they have been instructed. He's writing to Theophilus, who appears very much so to have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, been instructed of Christ, very likely from the apostles in the early church. And Luke is writing so that he, Theophilus, and though therefore us as readers as well, that we might have a confidence in what we have been taught about Jesus. It's a communication of the background and backstory of Jesus to help explain why he is to be believed and trusted as the true Savior of the world. Luke, in his account, right away gets us moving as we see God moving in the hearts and minds of people. He sends Gabriel to Zechariah, and he and Elizabeth bear a son in their old age, John the Baptist. We see God delighting in the impossible as he enables this old couple to have a baby. And then we see him enabling now a virgin, the Virgin Mary, to conceive a baby. God is moving. We see here in this passage before us now a point where the reader is brought to praising the Lord right along with Mary. Let's just remember as we read through this gospel, the Gospel of Luke, the intention of Luke is that we might have a confidence and a certainty. And I believe that the inclusion here of Mary's song is more than just to show us what Mary might have been thinking, but to allow us the privilege to join with her, to say with her these words of praise and to enjoy its truth. Are you ever at a loss for words for the Lord and His goodness and His mercy? It is so good to have the Word of God because it gives us the words, doesn't it? And this is one of those glorious examples as you consider what has happened in Mary's life. Mary is in the hillsides of Judea with her cousin Elizabeth. At this point in the account, both ladies are aware of the workings of God in their lives. Elizabeth is very much aware that Mary is carrying her Lord. Her Lord. Luke has now conveyed how it came to be that John was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And that Jesus now is conceived in the Virgin Mary. This is by the supernatural working of God. So if we want to understand Jesus Christ, our Savior, we understand that from the very beginning, it was God who was moving. It was God who was working as He came from heaven down to earth, as Philippians 2 says so clearly. So now Mary is breaking out into song. We have no idea of its melody. But here we see her heart, and Luke is showing her heart, and it's providing us this opportunity to join her in praise. As we join her in praise, it's helpful for us to recognize, again, the context of this, Mary being a Jewish young lady, recognizing that it was the hope of Jewish women for the seed to come through them. So as we spend time in these verses for the next few moments together, I trust that in your heart, you're dancing before the Lord in praise. You will find a beautiful reminder of His mercy. That is His kindness and goodness to people who are afflicted, who are destitute, who have nothing to offer, and in fact don't deserve His goodness. And yet, we see His kindness and mercy. Well, Mary begins here in verse 46 by saying, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Magnify the Lord. In our terminology today, when we think of magnify, we can think of the magnifying glass, and we can think of how that magnifying glass takes something that is small and makes it large. And so does Mary take God, who has been distant for some time in the minds and hearts of people. In other words, they haven't heard from God directly to our knowledge for quite some time since Malachi the prophet. There may have been other instances not recorded in the scriptures, but nevertheless, God is now being magnified, and Mary is doing that through her song of praise. He is very much the great God of the Old Testament scriptures, of the prophets of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she wants the world to know it. So she sings and she magnifies Him and makes Him large. He brings Him out as big and as great. She magnifies the Lord. Oh, her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. Her Savior. I mean, you can rehearse. They're in the Roman province under the control of the Roman Empire and Caesar, and they're not free. They are truly under the bondage of sin and are longing for the promised one to be sent, the Savior of the world. And now His birth has been announced. Gabriel has come. Gabriel has said it. Jesus will be born of you, Mary. God, my Savior. The very fact of recognizing she needed a Savior is implying her heart and her spirit of humility before the Lord. Oh, I pray that you and I will never tire of calling Jesus Christ your Savior. Because it puts you right where you need to be. It reminds you of your need for Jesus. It reminds you that, as we've celebrated tonight, it is His through His blood that we are saved, that we have found forgiveness of sin. We see her magnifying the Lord and rejoicing in God, her Savior. She speaks in verse 48 of the low estate of His handmaiden. The Lord, He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. We see in these verses 46 through 49, this is very personal for Mary. There's personal pronouns involved here. She's personally involved considering her own reactions and perspective. She is recognizing that the Lord has seen her. Small that she is, little among the people of Israel. She's not royalty. And yet the Lord has seen fit to bless her. We see here that this is put in the context of history. We see His mercy in verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Well, the context of the history of the people of Israel is big. It's key. They have been up and they have been down. They were in exile and then returned back. The prophets proclaiming over and over again. You see this term, generations, both in 48 and also in verse 50. In verse 48, all generations shall call me blessed. All people shall look at her and realize that she has truly been blessed. Oh, this is not her boasting in herself. Just boasting in the grace and the mercy of God that she has this privilege. And that it is a blessing. Well, we see that there's a recognition of several things about the Lord. He is mighty, in verse 49. He has done to me great things, and holy is His name. Oh, tonight, do not forget, our God is mighty. Never put aside the fact that He is holy. And tonight, as we magnify the Lord together, along with Mary, we honor and rejoice in His holiness and find security in His power. His mercy is on them that fear Him, verse 50, from generation to generation. And this has been the state of the people of Israel in the past. And Mary is excited about this. God has kept His promises. His goodness and His kindness is for real. And it is being manifest now through her. You see, generation after generation, people who feared God looked for the coming one. They were excited for Him, looked for the Savior. And we see His mercy on them. We see in verse 51, He shows His strength with His arm. He scatters the proud and the imagination of their hearts. Dear church, listen. We can be so concerned about what people do to us and about the proud hearts of people. Let us never forget that our Lord can handle them. Let's make sure that we are submitting to Him ourselves. He has put down the mighty, verse 52, from their seats, and He exalts them of low degree. Oh, so often it's a push and a shove for exaltation. When in all reality, that's up to the Lord. And the Lord will raise them up, and the Lord will bring some down. But the Lord is able. Doesn't matter if they're mighty. Doesn't matter if they're exalted. The Lord can handle them. Verse 53, He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. you have this concept of emptiness. Those that are hungry, He's given them good things. Do you trust the Lord? Are you hungry? He gives good things. But then there's the rich who are counting on their riches. And He says, no, that's not what matters. And they're sent away empty. Well, we know it's not about the wealth. We know it's not about the strength. We know it's not about their boasts. They don't mean anything when the Lord shows His might. Mary's excited about the Lord, isn't she? Are you excited about the Lord tonight? She ends her song with a reflection on His promises to her forefathers. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. The Lord remembers. He remembers the promises He made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to David. As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever, the Lord is a helper. As we look at this, and so it's difficult at times because we're so far removed from this situation in which Mary is in. She's just a normal girl. But a God-fearing girl whom God has come and said, I want to bless you. I have shown my favor upon you. And so she is rejoicing. And I picture, and again, I'm very visual, but I picture as Mary is singing this, that this is not something that she sat down and necessarily wrote out that first time. But as she is there with Elizabeth and just received this blessing from Elizabeth in verse 45, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord, that Mary then breaks into this song, and I believe probably a dance. This is just my interpretation, but you know, this idea of just swirling around before the Lord and just magnifying Him, making Him large, and thinking about what He has done both in her life but also now in the life of her people. How excited it is to know that our God is merciful, that our God is mighty, that our God is a helper. Hands upraised as she exalts the Lord. Mary is used by God because He saw an opportunity to show His grace and His love and His mercy. And so we see Him working through her. Now, each one of us are opportunities for God to show His grace, His love, and His mercy. And if you're a believer here tonight, that is what He has done. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us very clearly, but God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love, loved us. And later in that same passage, it's for by grace are you saved through faith. And you and I have much to magnify the Lord about tonight. When was the last time you've done that? When was the last time I did that? When I took a moment to sing praise to the Lord, to rejoice in God my Savior. As we close out our time tonight, I I found a video, a song, it's called Mary's Song, that kind of comes from this passage of Scripture that I believe would be a great closing meditation for our time together today. So Grace, I'm going to ask you if you could just hit play and just ask you to enjoy the words and the truths that are presented. Lord Jesus, we do rejoice in you tonight, and thank you for music, and thank you for the privilege of just magnifying you, that we have that privilege, that opportunity, for you have shown us such grace, love, and mercy. We do know your peace. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.